So my name is Peter Freeman. I also work at John Snow. I'm based here in the Boston office, but I am not going to talk about any of that. I chair, as Len mentioned, the Advocacy and Policy Committee for APHA's International Health Section. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a background of what that means, what we do, how we operate, what are some of our accomplishments, and then also talk about how we view global health advocacy moving forward. What are some of the challenges? What are some next steps that we think as a global health community we can take to make advocacy a little bit more engaging and a little bit more inclusive for folks? I never really know when I have to disclose things, so I just throw this in here. I have nothing to disclose. So what do? We are an advocacy group. As you know, APHA has 29 sections. International Health is one of them. Our section has over 2,000 members, and our committee specifically for advocacy has somewhere between 100 and 150. It's a volunteer-based thing, so numbers are not always necessarily our strong point. Before I continue talking, I should make it very clear that our section doesn't do any advocacy that's independent of APHA. All of the actions we take, all of the things we accomplish are done in partnership with APHA, and because we've collaborated with staff there, including Vina, who is sitting in the audience, to make sure that the voice that's heard is reflective of APHA's 50,000 strong membership. There are basically two types of advocacy activities that our committee gets involved in, and APHA in general. Those that are initiated by APHA, and those that are initiated by our collaborators and our community partners. Because we're a member-based agency, pretty much all of the advocacy work that we focus on is brought to our attention from our members. If our members are interested in it, if they're professionally interested in it, if they're personally tied to it, if their employers are working on it, they bring it to our attention, or my attention and my co-chair's attention, and we start a dialogue around how can APHA get involved? What can the voice look like? How is APHA going to make a stance on the global marketplace about it? And we target really anyone with these advocacy acts. We target members of the United States government. We target local nonprofits. We target international entities. We don't tend to target international governments. We tend to use international NGOs in the country of the government that we're trying to impact change on. Another thing we focus on are policy resolutions. For those who are maybe not so familiar with APHA's system of operation, policy resolutions are those things that are adopted by the Governing Council of APHA every year, and they lay the basis for how the association can make a statement on a given concern. They've passed policy resolutions on everything from conflict and war to the misuse of drugs, to anything, you name it. And whenever APHA makes a public statement, they go back to those resolutions and decide how the membership has agreed to let them speak on that in a public forum. Our committee and our section has been very vocal in the policy resolution arena. We submit, on average, 4 to 5 resolutions every year, most of which get passed. And we've also been pretty instrumental in making sure that the way policy resolutions work through the association system is fair and equal to all of the different sections. So we've been closely monitoring the way policy resolutions are created as well. And lastly, we help to provide guidance to APHA leadership. As some of you may know, APHA was pretty instrumental in helping to found the Global Health Council. We helped in the launch of the World Federation of Public Health Associations. So it has a history of getting involved in this international arena. And as the association moves forward and as more of these players pop up, the staff at APHA tend to look to our section a little bit, as we are the only globally focused section of the association, to ask for our guidance and to say, you're on the ground, you're doing this work. How does this interaction work with our association? What should we be thinking about? What should we be looking at? And I think it's also important to note that we recognize that Dr. Benjamin is the sole external spokesperson for the association. We work, as I've mentioned, very closely with Vina as the global health manager, who attends a lot of the same meetings, but we ultimately recognize that if the association is going to say something, it's going to be coming from Dr. Benjamin. Some of the accomplishments, just to let you know that we just don't sit around and talk about all of these things. So from APHA-driven initiatives, we've written letters to the Secretary of State Clinton in 2011 around what was happening in Syria. In 2009, we wrote a letter to her about the situation that was happening in Bahrain. We've written to the Senate Armed Forces Committee here in the United States asking for continual funding of the United States Institute of Peace. What else have we done locally? Oh, yes, HIV. We've been pretty instrumental in not only having APHA recognize HIV, or men who have sex with men, as an important component of the HIV epidemic, but also making statements on how HIV funding is to be used both domestically and globally. Collaboration with other partners, we had a very successful advocacy day with the Global Health Council 2 or 3 years ago when this meeting was in Washington, D.C. We get a lot of sign-on letters from other agencies that ask APHA to throw the weight of the Public Health Association of America on a given health concern or a legislative agenda. A lot of these requests come around budgetary items, fiscal year appropriations, things along those lines. And as I said, with policy resolutions, we're pretty successful in getting resolutions passed. We have 4 up on the board for this year. We had 4 passed last year. We had 4 passed in 2011. I could keep going back, but those numbers are really boring, so I'm not going to. But we're pretty successful in them, and I'm very proud of the message that we have been able to get APHA to be very vocal on situations that are, you know, kind of touchy and feely for some folk. We passed a resolution on war and conflict as a public health issue, which was hotly debated and had a lot of back and forth across the membership. And the fact that APHA is now in a position where they're able to make that global statement, I think speaks really well to how far APHA has come in finding their voice on the global marketplace. So how do we do it? Mostly we have identified global health issues from our members. We are a volunteer-based agency and a volunteer-based group, so if our members don't want to do something, they're very much not going to do it. But if our members are interested in something, they bring it to us and we help and negotiate and make that initiative happen. Once we have a health concern identified, we work very closely with APHA staff to help shape that language. Usually the process that happens is that we send a draft to APHA staff and say, this is what we want to say. Here's the health concern. This is the message we think APHA should have. Staff will take it back to the association, and we'll go through a week or two of negotiations to finalize the language that gets sent out on behalf of the association from Dr. Benjamin to whoever our target happens to be. APHA staff over the last few years have been very quick to respond to our requests. They've been very supportive because I think they recognize that it's important to have a global component to a domestically focused association. And then lastly, implementing advocacy initiatives. Right now, one of the big struggles is tracking the actions that we have. So when we send letters, when we make requests, how as a 50,000 strong member organization basically fueled by volunteers, do we track the outcomes of those actions? And that's one of the big struggles that we're trying to figure out moving forward so that we can show a history of success or continued challenge based upon what our advocacy interests are. So I think some of the challenges to global health advocacy are definitely not unique to APHA. I think some of these are universal across the board. The first is international initiatives on a domestic agenda. I think it's sometimes very difficult to tell constituents that global health matters. Global health is at our back door. It's at our front door. It's everywhere. Something that happens around the globe is going to have direct implications for us, and it's sometimes hard for people who don't work in international health to recognize the importance of making a statement and coming out and saying, this is not okay. And I think that's a challenge that we're getting better at addressing, but I think it is still a continually prevalent issue, especially when it comes to finding money for such things. I think identifying priorities in a volunteer member-based association is very difficult. You know, we have priorities. APHA as an association has priorities, but they're general and they're somewhat a little vague, and they have to be, right? We can't force volunteers to do specific things, so we need to make the scope of work that they could accomplish pretty broad so that everyone's interest can be included. At the same time, it's hard to prioritize what is going to be accomplished in those priorities. You know, we have a very limited APHA staff to make those official statements, and we recognize that while we think we're the most amazing section in the world, there are 28 others who also have an equal voice in trying to make a statement on what they want the association to come out against or come out for. So we recognize that it's a strain on APHA staff time as well, and it's how do you set priorities within your section, and then how do you prioritize all of those within a larger association agenda. And then I think one of the other big challenges is this concept of global health. We throw it around, it sounds like a big cohesive thing. Global health covers everything that doesn't happen here. It covers medicine, it covers, I'm not going to come up with really great examples, but it covers everything that APHA talks about on an international platform. And I think it's really hard for a small group of committed individuals to cover all of that. We don't all have expertise in everything, but we know that everything that the association speaks about on a domestic platform is relevant on an international playing field. So how do we cover all of that? How do we make sure that our voice is equitable to all of those different components? I can tell you it's a challenge. It's not easy to do. Moving forward, how are we going to address these things? One, I think engagement of students. Global health needs to keep looking forward, and students are our future. They are where our efforts are going to come, and I believe my next two fellow panelists are going to talk about that a little bit. So I won't go into that too much. I think we need to challenge this idea that advocacy is something that you do if you have time. I think we need to make it advocacy being something that you make time to do. You know, there are two main ways that we impact the work that we do. First is public health practice. We go, we collect information, we make those infrastructure changes, and then we have advocacy. We advocate and we teach people what's been going on so that those changes can happen in a systematic way in other parts of the world. So I think forgetting that advocacy is part of good public health practice is something that we need to remember, and I think it's something that we need to start teaching. I think we need to teach it in health-related fields. I think we need to teach it in behavioral-related fields. I think we really need to change this paradigm. I think we need better organization. You know, I think we need to organize people. We need to pool our efforts. Sometimes the loudest voice is the voice that is heard, but that's not always the most informed voice. And sometimes those of us who have the knowledge and the insight are scattered across all of our different associations and our groups. So I think we need to have better organization of the voices that are saying the same thing. And I think the systems that we use to share that voice need to be better organized. We need to have processes. We need to have policies and procedures set in place that make it attractive and easy for someone to come forward and say, I have this idea. I want someone to say this. If the way to make that happen is complicated and convoluted, we all have 12 other things we need to do that hour. So we're probably going to walk away from it. So making it cohesive, making it an A to B line is the way that we're going to get more advocacy out into the world. So how are we as APHA very quickly encouraging involvement? With the members we currently have, we're trying to do a return on investment. You know, the only reason the APHA Policy Committee is successful is because my committee members invest in me and give me ideas and let me know what needs to happen. So I'm trying to give back to them in a way. I'm trying to keep them abreast of what's happening in the global marketplace that they may not know about. Introducing them and having people come and speak about larger global health issues. We're encouraging outside involvement. The co-chair that I just brought on board for this committee is a student, and I think reaching out to the students and encouraging student involvement at point A, as soon as they enter the academic or the public health professional field, is the way we're going to recruit them and retain them for the course of their career. And how to get involved with us directly. We have an advocacy meeting tomorrow at 7 a.m. I know that's very early. The IH section has a blog, Facebook, it has a Twitter account. You can find us on the APHA website. These are the contact informations for the chair, Paul, and then Kevin Sykes and myself, who are the co-chairs of the policy committee. You can email any one of us, and we are happy to get you involved either in the policy committee, which I think you should do, or we can redirect you to another member of the International Health section. Thank you.